Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, welcome to the Soundcheck Podcast. It's our series of live in-studio performances, streaming on Facebook and YouTube. I'm John Schaefer. Mary Halverson is one of the most gifted guitarists of her generation. Robbie Lee has established himself as a versatile sax player, flutist, and keyboardist. But if they're not careful, they may wind up being known as the Weird Instrument Team, because their new album together, called Seed Triangular, sports such oddities as an 18-string harp guitar from the 19th century and the world's smallest saxophone. They've brought all of those instruments and more into our studio to play some pieces for us, beginning with this one called The Booming.
Thank you.
That is music by Mary Halverson and Robbie Lee playing live here in our studio. And they began with The Booming, which is the opening track from their new album called Seed Triangular, and then segueing into a piece called A Forest Viol, that's V-I-O-L, as in the family of bowed lutes from the Baroque era. Mary Halverson playing the guitar. Good to see you. Thanks for being
good
here.
Good to see you, too.
And Robbie Lee playing one of everything over there. So you had the antique sleigh bells slung over your shoulder, the melodica, the foot was pumping an Indian shruti box, and you had a Baroque flute at the beginning.
And a Baroque flute, right.
All right. So we've heard some of your respective arsenals. The album is full of the sounds of improvised music. Not necessarily jazz, although there certainly are parts that have a jazzy aspect to it. It's also not quite folk. It's not quite world music. And yet all these things seem to be part of the language the two of you are speaking on this record. Mm-hmm. Would that be fair to say?
I think it's fair. I don't really know what kind of music it is, but what has been so interesting for me about this is that Mary and I didn't sit down and design an idea or a sound, but we let the instruments be a guide and our whatever the influences we bring to the table. And so we never really talked about trying to do this or that, but it ended up as this cohesive voice that is its own thing, I guess.
Now, are these, Mary, are these repeatable pieces? I mean, does A Forest Viol here in the studio, you know, portend what it will sound like when you play it on stage at LPR on the 17th?
It actually does. It's sort of a sketch of a piece, but at the same time, it's very open. So it will be different at LPR, but hopefully if you heard both, you would recognize that it was the same piece.
Right. So now your last album, Code Girl, that was a very composed record. As Robbie says, this seems to be the opposite. This seems to be the ideas sprang from the sound of the instruments themselves, right?
Exactly. I mean, all of this we initially composed spontaneously, just playing around with these instruments, and as Robbie said, letting them be a guide. And for me, there was a factor of novelty, which was exciting because I normally play electric guitar, and all of these are Robbie's instruments. Robbie has an incredible collection of instruments. So for me, there was an element of discovery of just picking these things up for the first time and seeing what happened.
Well, now you were just playing a guitar. I mean, recognizably.
This was the most this was the most similar to something I would normally play.
Right. And Robbie, what's special about that instrument?
That particular guitar, it's a Gibson L2. It's from about 1930. And it's kind of neat because it's sort of a hybrid between a flat top and an arch top.
And
guitar.
An arch top,
it's not a folk guitar and it's not a jazz guitar. It has the setup of a jazz guitar, but has a flat top. So it really, this guitar doesn't sound like anything else to me, and I think it suits Mary. It almost sounds like an electric jazz guitar the way you play.
Definitely.
Acoustically, right?
It feels great to play. It just has a great resonance. And
right. Now, resonance brings up a topic that was probably a little thorny, although maybe you just threw your hands up and said, let's hope for the best, and that is tuning. Because, Robbie, a lot of your instruments are not in the same tuning that our piano or a standard guitar would be in.
Completely. They're not equal temperament. These instruments are, because they have frets.
Right.
But I don't think you're playing an equal temperament either with bends and things like that.
Right.
My instruments are not only in all different kinds of tunings, but also in different keys, especially the ones meant for Baroque music. So this Baroque flute is in, instead of A440 as a modern tuning, this is an A415. And the one that I was playing at the start of that piece, the Quantz flute, is an A392. So it's a whole step lower.
How is 392 even A anymore?
Well, that's what A was in 1700.
Yeah, but now A is
now A
much,
is high.
Much higher.
Yep.
So play an A on each of these flutes.
Okay. Sure. Well, I'll start with, this is the 440, the modern A.
Modern A. So when you hear the orchestra tune up, that's the oboe gives A 440, 440 cycles. Again, how is that even A anymore?
You'll have to ask the Baroque theorists.
So, Mary, you are playing tuned equal tempered, mm-hmm. the 12 notes that modern Western music is built on.
Correct.
So how do you live with this?
Well, I actually find the rubs that are created to be interesting a lot of the time. And so it's fun to play around with that. I also can bend notes slightly to try to match or to try to create those types of rubs. And the next instrument I'm going to play, which is this harp guitar, is also, some of these strings are not standard tuning.
Now, for folks who aren't watching us, the strings you just played are below the six normal strings of a guitar, and they are affixed to the body of the instrument. And
right.
You don't stop those strings. You just play them like a zither or a harp.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's a second neck above the six regular strings, and that has the lower harp strings.
Exactly.
That sounds like, you know, it sounds like a piano almost.
mm-hmm. It does. I mean, this was totally wild just to figure out how to play and what to do with it.
You need three hands. You got three different sets of strings.
Exactly.
What was your solution? How do you play it?
For me, this was really pure experimentation. So hitting the notes, seeing, I mean, we spent a lot of time playing around with this. Mm-hmm, so hitting the mm-hmm. notes, seeing how does it sound, really just having a period of exploring the instrument. I think it's probably both a disadvantage and an advantage of not really knowing how one would traditionally play this instrument it's sort of like a blank slate.
Yeah.
I can use these things however I want.
Well, I'm not sure how much of a tradition of playing the harp guitar. I mean,
that would be a question for you.
I mean, they were popular, relatively
right.
speaking,
mm-hmm.
in the late 19th, early 20th centuries. But I mean, the thing looks like something Mr. Spock would be playing, you know, on Star Trek.
It does look pretty cool.
So that's, you're playing that in this next piece. And Robbie, what are you playing?
I have an instrument. It's supposed to be a Renaissance clarinet. It's called a Shalimo.
Mm-hmm.
This one in particular is modernized a little bit. So it's more of like a folk clarinet, a little bit like an E-flat clarinet, but it's in C, but it's very sweet sounding. And it has some overtones of some instruments from different places in the world.
Yeah, there's a Hungarian reed instrument that sounds a lot like mm-hmm. this thing here.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's essentially a folk clarinet pretending to be a Renaissance clarinet.
Okay, very good. well, let's hear this piece called Seven of Strong. It's from the album Seed Triangular, which is the new record by my guests Mary Halverson and Robbie Lee.
Thank you.
That's called Seven of Strong, live performance by Mary Halverson on the 18-string harp guitar. Robbie Lee started with the shalimo and then moved briefly to one of the Baroque flutes and then ended up with the Gemshorn.
That's right.
Wow. So the titles, where do all these titles come from?
Ah, the titles are a good story. They come from a source that for me has been a sort of mystic cipher for quite a long time. They come from Thoreau's journals.
Oh.
And I have it's like a 14-volume set of them that has a very special place in my bookshelf. And
must have a bookshelf to itself.
It takes its own bookshelf. And I actually, when it was time to come up with titles for these, because they weren't written with titles preconceived, I flipped through and found every one of these titles is either a standalone little segment or a piece of a phrase, sometimes just in the middle of a sentence. And I thought that the sort of pastoral quality of them really worked for the animal life feeling of the music.
So for two people who are making new music, you know, you certainly have old stuff on your minds. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask about this amazing photo of the two of you on the back cover of the album, because it looks like a photo from, you know, the year 1905 or something. What is that?
And it pretty much is. It's a tintype.
Well, you're looking both very well preserved.
Thank you. It's a real tintype. There's a
now a tintype is.
You know, I'm not. I don't remember the exact process, but it's an early.
It's an early photographic process, right?
That gets printed on a piece of metal, and we went to a special studio that takes these. And if you want to describe the experience of sitting for it.
Yeah, it was about as opposite as it can get from modern day digital photography where you can just click away. This was like half an hour was working up to this one photo.
And you get one shot at it.
You get one shot at it.
Wow.
And then we got to watch it. They dissolve it in a substance and we watched it sort of gradually appear on this metal sheet.
It's blank and then it emerges in front of your eyes, the image.
And of course, you know, you're holding these instruments that, you know, are at least 100 and sometimes even older, you know, in terms of their age. And it's just, it's a great kind of encapsulation of the mood of what you guys have done here, making new music with often very, very old instruments. Mm-hmm. Robbie, how did you start collecting? Why did you start collecting all of these odd instruments?
Little by little and then all at once is the answer. I was always interested. I grew up as a saxophone player in a more traditional sort of jazz environment and began playing flutes pretty early on and just somehow ended up going sort of horizontally in music rather than vertically and from I think pretty early age became focused on the sounds themselves and the textures and all those things. And I don't know where they all came from, but each one has a story.
Where'd you get the harp guitar that Mary has?
That came from an amazing, amazing music store that's in Brooklyn called Retro Fret. And they sort of specialize in the unusual things and the unusual things there.
Now, Mary, you know, you spent many years kind of perfecting your technique and learning a certain kind of virtuosity on the guitar. Then Robbie places this thing on your lap, and it's like, well, now what do I? I mean, are you back to square one? Is that part of the fun? Is the new challenge, or does it bring out a different kind of definition of virtuosity for you?
Yeah, in many ways you are back to square one, which is sort of the fun of it, because I think there's a certain joy in playing an instrument which is brand new, and there's no baggage with it at all. So it's almost like as if I was suddenly presented with a drum kit and was bashing away for the first time. It's not quite that different, because obviously it's related, but there's an element of newness, which I think what's cool about that is it gets you out of patterns and habits that, you know, I can't really do on this guitar what I would do on the normal electric guitar that I play.
Right.
So there's an element of discovery and newness. And it also does take a little bit of practice just because it feels very foreign.
Yeah.
But it's a really fun challenge.
Can I add, but your guitar style is so distinctive that it comes through on everything that you play, right? And that's the especially fun part for me, is hearing the Mary voice, you know, emerge from murky sources.
Well, you know, it's interesting that Mary said, here's an instrument that doesn't have any baggage, because mm-hmm. nobody knows what the tradition of the harp guitar mm-hmm. is. If you were playing a regular tenor sax, mm-hmm. that would have a certain kind of connotation, mm-hmm. which you have avoided with your choices of instruments here.
And that's exactly why that happened, too.
Okay. But you do have a saxophone. You are, in fact, holding it in your hand, and it's just barely visible outside of your hand. Tell us about the soprillo saxophone.
This is the modern instrument on the record and in the group. This is the soprillo saxophone. It's made by some people in Germany that only make the world's smallest saxophone and the world's biggest saxophones, and nothing in the middle. They make these floor-to-ceiling
like sub-contrabass saxophones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's pitched in B-flat. It's a full octave above a soprano saxophone.
Oh, my God.
So it's a modern invention.
So only dogs can hear it.
Pretty much. And it's in the tintype, too. That's what I thought was so funny. Everything else is old-fashioned, but then there's this little guy.
It's not even, what is that, maybe 8 or 9 inches long from end to end?
It's the size of a piccolo.
Wow. And because all the hardware has to be collapsed into this little space, mm-hmm. it's just, it looks like a sculpture almost.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's definitely a marvel of engineering to be able to fit everything together.
So the piece that you're going to play for us next on the record is this instrument, mm-hmm. and Mary playing the third of the three instruments right. that she has, which is a banjo with 6 strings, and this is tuned, Mary, like a guitar. Right?
It's tuned a third lower than a guitar, but in the same.
But it's a guitar.
So the open chord is going to be a C, not
well,
a
D. Well, we tune it down, but right. it might have been.
We chose to do that. It could be tuned in standard guitar tuning, yes.
Right. So it's standard guitar tuning dropped a step and a half.
Dropped
from
a third.
E to C. A third. Again, I guess the question is, what's repeatable? Is it the combination of instruments, or does this piece now have some kind of musical fragments, motifs that get developed that recur?
I'd say the other pieces that we played are more repeatable, but this one probably will sound a lot like it does on the record. This one is less tonal in general, so so there's more free in terms of places it can go.
And why is it less tonal, Robbie?
Well, it's partially my fault, which is that it's very hard to play real notes on this instrument.
Soprano sax is hard to keep in tune. This thing must be just all bets are off.
Yeah, so I don't really have to try with that. It's more of a gestural thought to sound kind of an instrument, where it's big glissandos and a joyful squeak.
Okay.
And this has such a percussive element that for me it's also less about the pitches on right. this instrument than on the others.
Right. Although this instrument is also unusual because it has gut strings instead of metal strings.
Ah.
And usually the 6-string banjo came into vogue in the early jazz boom with metal strings.
Sure.
So this is really unusual to be a 19th century instrument, and I sourced the strings from a viola da gamba.
Oh, okay. So they genuinely
supplier.
Are gut strings.
Gut strings. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know you tuned this instrument before we started today, Mary, but that was 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, who knows? Who
Goodness knows what you're going to get.
Exactly.
Let's hear a live performance once again in the studio. Mary Halverson and Robbie Lee. This piece is called Rock Flowers.
Wish us luck. Thank you.
That's Mary Halverson and Robbie Lee performing live in a piece called Rock Flowers, which is on their new album together called Seed Triangular. Never again will I have to stay awake at night wondering what it would have sounded like if Ornette Coleman had dropped in on a 19th century American minstrel show. It was just like crazy sounds there. From the soprillo saxophone, a full octave above the soprano saxophone, and Mary playing this six-string, gut-string banjo. Have you ever played anything like that before, Mary?
I have played a six-string banjo before, but not with gut strings and nothing that sounded quite like this one.
Yeah. So the two of you are playing at Le Poisson Rouge at LPR on September 17th. And then after a short intermission, Mary, you're right back out on stage with Bill Frisell.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about that, the record the two of you have done together. It's a tribute to Johnny Smith, right?
Exactly. The late, great, in my opinion, underappreciated jazz guitarist.
He wrote Walk, Don't Run.
Exactly. Which a lot of people don't know because they know the Ventures,
version. Yeah.
But I'm a huge Johnny Smith fanatic, and I actually discovered him later. I discovered him in the past 10 years and was like, oh my God, how did I miss this guy? And then I found out from talking to Bill Frisell that he actually took some lessons with Johnny Smith when he was a teenager in Colorado. So he actually has had a personal relationship with Johnny Smith and, you know, also really loves his music. And then John Zorn, who has the label Zodic,
right, Zodic
coincidentally,
Records,
is also a big fan of Johnny Smith. So John had the idea for Bill and I to do this duo tribute album to Johnny Smith, which was a lot of fun just to get really deep into that music and transcribe a lot of Johnny Smith and really think about him and how he did what he did.
So you've got to get from one headspace playing with Robbie into a very different headspace playing with Bill.
Yeah, I'm going to feel like two people that night.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've sounded like, you know, a dozen people here, the two of you here in the studio today. The record is called Seed Triangular. It's new music for some very old instruments from Mary Halverson and Robbie Lee. Guys, thank you so much for being here today. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you. Really a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
This is Soundcheck. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.